Let me welcome everybody to the first international seminar of Ataullah Jamhoorikhane Iran, the Unity for a Democratic and Secular Republic in Iran. The discussion today is about the foreign policy and nuclear aspiration of Islamic Republic of Iran and relation between the U.S. and Iran and how the nuclear energy aspiration would play in that regard. The next speaker would be Mr. Mohsen Sazegharar. He is a prominent reformist thinker and intellectual. He is right now in London, and as I understand, he will be back to Iran. He is a founder of a few reformist newspapers in Iran and a former deputy secretary of Budget and Planning Organization. Mr. Sazegharar, please.
Thank you for the opportunity in discussion at Poltok. I want to look at the problem from quite different point of view as an Iranian politician. As you know, the foreign policy and national security of any country are two inseparable elements. The foreign policy of the Islamic Republic of Iran over the past 25 years has been based on three principles: the pursuit of ideology instead of national interests on the basis of a war of civilizations between revolutionary Islam and Western civilization, especially liberalism and democracy. Second, anti-Americanism by identifying the U.S. as the great Satan and lending a religious and ideological tenor to this battle. And third, a Palestine-centered orientation, support for radical Palestinian groups and wanting to see Israel removed from the face of the earth. In the arena of national security, too, the primary principle is to counter Western civilization and compete with it. And since attack has been considered the best form of defense, the best method for safeguarding national security has been defined as exporting the revolution, terrorism, and acquiring military arms and up to the level of nuclear. Nuclear weapons at that. This formulation of the country's foreign policy and not isolated country in the world. Over the past 25 years, these policies have inflicted irreparable harm on Iran's economic, political, and cultural interests. But for some time now, the continuation of these policies have taken the country into a very dangerous stage. The hazardous policies of Tehran's rulers in the realm of weapons of mass destruction, especially nuclear weapons, have put Iran in a situation in which it faces the imposition of sanctions by the UN Security Council. This will mean that the upright people of Iran will suffer hardship and poverty, while the country's leaders will quite possibly become wealthier by the day, as did Saddam Hussein. The militarists who have gained the upper hand believe that they can consolidate their power ever further by means of confrontation with a foreign enemy. In the light of the above preliminary remarks, the following points can be made. First, I think that the continuation of the policy of manufacturing nuclear weapons, far from helping safeguard Iran's national security, will serve as a pretext for the other countries of the region to expand their nuclear arsenal. Second, I think that a disarmed Middle East would be a safer place for all the people of the region. This would make it possible for the countries of the region to fall into a step with the globalization process. Disarmament, especially in the arena of nuclear weapons, would make it possible to put pressure on countries such as India, Pakistan, and Israel to reduce and halt the manufacturing of nuclear weapons and ultimately the nuclear disarmament of these countries. And third, I think that the main winner from Iran's nuclear policy is the Russian government, which tries to use the Iranian card at the negotiating table to extract concessions from the US and the West. At the same time, the Russian government has also extracted the heftiest concessions from Iran in recent years, an example of which is trampling over Iran's rights in the Caspian Sea. Fourth, I think that the peaceful use of nuclear technology is not only possible but necessary for Iran. But this will only become possible in today's world if there is a change to its foreign policy and national security doctrine. If it persists in pursuing the current policies, even the peaceful use of nuclear technology will become impossible for it. No power in the world trusts the current Iranian state and would allow it to establish high-capacity nuclear plants or to undertake the enrichment of uranium even for peaceful purposes. And fifth, I think that Tehran's rulers mistakenly imagine that they can create a rift between Europe and America and to thrive in this rift. This delusion has led to misguided policies that have put billions of dollars of Iran's national wealth into the pockets of European and Russian companies, and this process is continuing to this day. The anti-national oil contract signed with Francis Total is just one example. Russia's promises of support for Iran in the nuclear weapons affair and the extraction of numerous concessions, such as subsequent contracts for the purchase of new nuclear reactors, which will have already foreseeable environmentally damaging consequences for Iranians and the entire region, is another example. These promises, which became clear when the Iranian president spoke of the expectation that a country would use its right of veto in the Security Council, recall the Treaty of Tilsit and the behind-the-scenes deals between Russia and France during the time of the Qajar king, Fateh Ali Shah, which ultimately led Iran, after two long wars, so signing the ruinous Golestan and Turkmenchay Accords. The only conceivable way forward is for a democratic state based on the votes of the majority of the nation to change Iran's national security and foreign policy doctrine on the basis of safeguarding national interests and falling into step with the globalization process and friendship with the civilized world based on Iran's cultural and economic advantages. Pulling the country back from the edge of the precipice on which it finds itself. Thank you.